No, I wouldn't dare.
Hey, Harry, the game's all here.
Dick Hill is up talking over there.
This is not Rotary.
How are you?
Good to see you.
I just want to take a moment and thank everyone for being here, the commission members, the city council members. As we all know, we've been through this before. This is one of the more important meetings that we have during the year. And it's a priority. We have a lot of items. We all know that. We have items for any group that wants to help. We've got items for planning commission. The city council has its projects, its issues. And others too. So thank you very much. My staff, right here in staff, has done a super job of outlining. We all have the layout here of the projects. Roger will lead us through this. And we certainly want some comments. I'm sure we'll get some, but don't hesitate to comment. We need to do the best job we can on that priority. We all know that from time to time during the course of the year, other things pop up that we need to work on too. So that's always going to be that case. Sure of that. But one thing I was thinking about is we go through, and we don't even have to talk about it tonight, but we've been working in certain ways all these years, and perhaps it's time to brainstorm a little bit about how can we get through some of the items that we have that kind of linger on quicker, whether it's more people on the planning commission, different ways of groups looking at these in advance and then passing it on. Many times there have been task groups, especially within the planning commission, you all have two or three people working on things, and that seems to have worked out. And perhaps the council needs to do more of that kind of thing as well. But I think that, you know, every year it seems like we come up against a project or two that we really want to get through, but it's not that high on the priority list, albeit it's so important. And how do we do those kind of things? How do we get through? Because I don't think any of us want to hold up any of these important issues. So just something to think about as we go through, or maybe we talk about it in another meeting after we give it more thought. At one time we had nine people on planning at one time, and maybe that's not the answer at all. I recognize everything we decide to do like that puts a little bit more pressure on the planning commission itself, on our planning department itself. So then we're going to be thinking about that too. Perhaps there's some volunteers in our community. We've got so many learned people that have moved here in various careers. Perhaps there's some volunteers in our community that could help out a little bit in some way. But I just think those are some of the things we need to think about going forward if there are ways of moving things quicker. And I'm certainly not smart enough to know the answers, but collectively I think we do. And we're glad our citizens are here tonight, too, to be with us and listen. And chime in if you need to, if you want to. Okay. Without further ado, Roger, thank you for your efforts here and getting us together and getting us started. Thank you.
I'd like to thank you all for coming. Every council member's here and every planning commission member's here. We'll soon be having another planning commission member. Leslie's appointment will be up for a vote at the next meeting. So it's great to see that everybody here tonight and being able to go through this. What Ed and I met with Ed Waltz a couple of weeks ago, and we looked at what the action agenda was for last year, and then added in those few items that council has asked us to add in. And so I'm going to go through kind of in grouping here. If you look at the top six, these are in progress at some point with the Planning Commission. Obviously, we know about the Northside Plan. That's in progress. We think that fall, winter time, it should be completed. They're well on their way with the Northside Plan. Have had several different meetings, both internally and with the community, and we think that some good progress is going towards that. The bed and breakfast and the self-storage, those were two that were added by City Council to the agenda. They've had some preliminary meetings with the Planning Commission. They are on the agenda for the March meeting. There's been, let me just go on, bed and breakfast, going back and forth, looking at what's the best way to deal with the bed and breakfast. It's not that we're waffling, but we have met with our city attorney, and he felt we needed to look at certain things under the current LP. Then we looked at a PC, planned commercial, and then after talking to the individual and their concerns, being a planned commercial, we've now, I don't want to say flip-flopped, we've just flipped back to looking at an LP, and we think we took care of so much, most of the areas that were concerned. So that will be for the Planning Commission at the next meeting, and hopefully there won't be too many hurdles, and it'll be to City Council later in March. Same thing with allowing self-storage units. It was more of some amendment changes, but also, do we want those mini warehouses in PC? Is that something good or bad? So the Planning Commission will be looking at that in March. Those two were brought up by landowners, citizens, and council said in the future, if we get those coming for us and they're relatively simple, we're going to pass those on. When we first looked at the bed and breakfast, we said, well, let's wait. We've got a big, long list. Attached housing. The Planning Commission's already worked through that. Council received that last fall. There were a number of questions about it. Ed's gone around to various sites and has a number of photos, and we'll be looking at that hopefully in April as to what changes do we need to make, if any, from what we received from the Planning Commission. For that one, as far as the Planning Commission, we feel it's been completed, but it's in progress because Council has not totally reviewed it. Reviewing PR zone for 1 acre minimum, it's really, when we looked at that, it was really just an expansion of the design review from the old Aiken area, the master plan. Again, the old Aiken master plan, the decision was we need to have the design review board to be having more careful review and to be able to get input on any changes within that area. Consider Old Aiken where the parkway system is at. So that's really being looked at by the design review. We have a consultant. The biggest hurdle that we've had that's slowed this process up, on the west end along Richmond Avenue, you have some design elements that you want to duplicate. On the north side, we have a number of bungalow-type units that we would like to see maybe more of, or at least keep what we have. But we go down East Richland Avenue, and we really don't have any defined element of design that we can say, let's model the east side as you're coming into Aiken after this building or these homes. You have a mortuary, you have a repair shop that takes various cars and makes them into one car. You have an old car dealership, and just a hodgepodge of different elements that you're coming out in. So they're concentrating as to what should the new buildings as they get instituted look like. And so that's basically they're trying to come up with some design element. So that's in the consultant's hands, and the access management ordinance has been before the Planning Commission on several occasions, and I think you're getting very close to bringing out the Planning Commission. So the first six items are in progress or on a task force. Right now, we're doing three items on task force: the north side, the open space, which pretty much is completed. The consultant is now doing some further review, and the old Aiken design review, which is number five here. So we got three things that the Planning Commission has put forward either with consultants or task force. And without bringing in some outside help, which we feel really needs to be done by staff in some way, so individuals that really have day-to-day knowledge of what's going on with our planning community, that's about all that the planning department can handle at any one time. There's three items with the task force. And I say that because as I go down the list, you'll understand where I'm going with that. The next items here from 7 to 16 are either no action's been taken, or if we look at one here, residential parking in the downtown area, it's been done. Number 16, we feel the underground wiring, existing wiring. We originally said, let's have the Planning Commission really review this. The more we thought about it, the more we really think that that should be done by the Park Commission, and that they should have the task force. The reason being is the majority of the streets where this underground wire is going to take place are on parkways. And anytime you go into that parkway and there's overhead wiring down the middle of that parkway, it's going to affect the trees. Every house along that parkway, you're going to have to go ahead and underground and bore from that, where that underground is going to go, to the house. And when it gets to the house and you have the overhead weatherhead coming down, it's not going to have to come up. And so there's going to have to be some major changes at each house. The Park Commission is headed up by the Engineering and Public Works. So engineering is going to have to get involved. The Park Commission is going to have to get involved. That doesn't mean we don't want to have the Planning Commission involved, but it also very much says that we need to get the Design Review Board involved, because it is primarily in the historic areas. So we really feel like that should be kind of passed over, and it'll be done a lot quicker by having it done by another group. So that item there, we're recommending that we take out of the Planning Commission's hands and give to someone else, and hopefully you all are going to have a little problem with that in the Planning Commission if we do that.
Just
as a question on this, it's the individual's responsibility to get it underground to the pole, is it not?
Well, that's something council's going to have to decide. The citizens are not saying we want to have things underground. We, the city, are saying we want to have these things underground. In the downtown area, we ran it right to where the meter box was at. Now, if there's any conversions that had to be made, there's equipment that's on a 240 volt, and there's equipment that's on 220. Undergrounding's at one level, overhead's at the other level. For instance, when it was underground to this building, we had to change out our motors on our elevator because they wouldn't operate properly. I know when Sam Erb's operation at the Bowery was changed out, he had to change out some of his equipment. So that we put on their portion of responsibility. I was always under the assumption that we'd be running the wiring right to the house and converting it at that point. Now, if it's going to be differently, then we'll have to look at it. But there would probably be a cost of every time you go from that wiring in the center of the parkway to a house, you probably have a bore, at least underneath the street, if not across the parkway. And depending on what trees or stuff in the yard, there's an expense of several thousand dollars. And are we going to make the homeowner pay for that? And unless we have everybody along that area convert, you can't get rid of the overhead wiring. So it's a simple process, but it's a very difficult process when you get into the nuts and bolts of it.
Well, we've just done that, and there were also problems unique to our home that was nobody, that wasn't anybody's responsibility but ours.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. Any unique problems with the home, I feel would be responsible to the homeowner, but from the home to wherever the underground is going to be would be the responsibility of the city. But again, we had that committee look at that, look at the expenses, and report back.
Roger, question?
Yes.
Item 16, there was a committee appointed this year to deal with downtown one, made up of various people like the telephone company, cable people, and
we would still use that same task force.
Okay, that task force doesn't go out of existence.
No, it would just be instead of Ed and his staff trying to head it up and get it accomplished, we're now going to ask Larry Morris and his staff to head it up, with Park Commission kind of being the overseers of this.
Roger, two things. One, the question was asked by the mayor, a comment was made regarding task forces, what is the best way to handle this? And certainly, Ed's got a limited staff, and there's only so much they can do at one time. And I know we've had tremendous successes being led by various people, like my fine friend Bill Reynolds, who's chaired several committees in Cali, Harlem, and several others. And I'm just wondering, hasn't that helped us to have these folks lead these task force and doing a lot of the legwork for us? But then I'm wondering, in terms of monitoring activities, how much does that impose with your staff, Ed? If we have, let's say, five tasks, we've got three already. What does that do for you in terms of having to schedule meetings? Does that make it easier for you with someone doing the actual footwork?
With the landscaping and tree preservation amendments done 4 years ago that Bill headed up, mm-hmm. and with Kay, I think, on the inoperable vehicle, not for the junk cars, basically, oversized vehicles. When you have one person involved, it's really efficient, and we get a lot done and can get something together pretty quickly. As soon as you start adding people, obviously the more you add, mm-hmm. the more complicated it gets, the tougher it is to arrange meetings, there's more paperwork. I mean, I think for one person, approach that worked really well, you know, getting something together to give to the full commission. Bill and Kay might disagree with that.
What's your feeling? It's a lot of work for you all, because I know you. What's the feeling here?
Well, with the task force, you've got 6 to 10 people,
right.
So you've got a schedule established. Mm-hmm. So I don't know that it would speed things up or slow things down if you had a subcommittee of commissioners working on an issue versus a task force of volunteers headed by a commissioner. Because mm-hmm. you still got the scheduling issue.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, Ed. I guess I'd be inclined to say it depends on, you know, the group of people that are doing the work.
Okay, you agree?
I agree. And I think with Mr. Evans, you know, some of the issues or the items that you look at, like ones that Bill and I worked on, it was kind of easy to do that. We could do a little bit of the legwork and talk to different people and then come back with the information. But then sometimes you start down that path and it ends up being more complicated than you anticipated. And then, you know, you need to bring people in and there's lots of questions. I don't know either, Bill. I think maybe. It depends on how much public input you all want.
There's kind of two different issues. Some issues one person can handle the subject.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get into some of these diverse areas, let's take the open space. Now, Bill's handled a one-man task force, a multi-personal task force. The one man was the tree ordinance. And it was just revisions to the, in other words, we had a foundation there. And I was looking at it and saying, well, what revisions do we need to make to this? The open space, the green space, we really needed to have a multifaceted number of individuals coming from different areas to give us input on what open space meant to them as individuals. And it took more time and then it took more research on our part to get back to them on rating and other issues they wanted. So there's some things that are, and I don't want to make it sound like they're very simple, because none of them are simple, mm-hmm. but some things we can handle that way, mm-hmm. and then others really need to have more community input.
Well, based on what I'm seeing, we've got the rumors about a town that has existed here for a long time, but that are moving in this area. I was at ABDA office this morning, and this guy comes in and just moved from Boston 4 years ago, and handle all the design work for the Boston community. I would have to do that design work. He's got to walk the street saying, we need you here downtown for something. But he was looking for some tickets for an event. But got those kinds of folks just walking, and I'm sure would love to be engaged in some things that has a wealth of knowledge.
So. One of the things that we have on the list that, which is item number 13, inoperable vehicles at commercial locations, it's probably going to take a task force, in our opinion, because we really need to get the opinion of several different people. Mr. Waltz over here is talking even at his particular place, which doesn't do a lot of general repair, but he's had cars that have stayed there for long periods of time and have consisted of several years. And so where does he park this vehicle? What does he do with that vehicle? The simple solution would be the city develops a compound area and all these vehicles from all these locations go to our yard and we have to deal with it, which I'm not recommending. But, I mean, that's the simple way. But otherwise, you have all these different repair shops that they do the repair. The person comes in to pay and goes, my gosh, I can't pay that kind of amount. And so you're now stuck with the vehicle, but you can't get rid of it for a period of time. Or they'll come back a year later or 2 years later and say, I'm ready to pick up my vehicle now. What's happened to my vehicle? So, that again, I'm saying, you know, we're talking probably a task force to really look at that issue. It sounds like a simple issue until you really get into it.
Les, I think part of the answer is the planning commission could use some more task force, but the planning department can't handle it anymore. And we can get more input, but now Ed and his staff are limited, but they can do. So the problem comes is, you know, we get down the end of the funnel. It's in the planning department, what do we do?
Well, Roger, I think that brings up a question I was going to ask, which Ed asked for me, really. Is the planning department staff large enough and presently adequate to handle all the things that we're talking about, and because of the growth in Aiken and all the problems that will come up in the future? How much has the staff really increased in recent years? Is it adequate now for all these projected problems and things that are going to be coming along in the next 2, 3, 4, 5 years?
No.
Well, then I think council ought to seriously think about adding to the planning commission.
Well, that's why I brought this up. You know, what are the answers to some of these questions?
To answer a little bit further than just a no. Once we start getting the old Aiken area, and the old Aiken area is really going to be under the design review board, and they're really looking at all these individual reconstructions, and each one of them has to have some inspection, some review. They're going to have more people, at least another person, to do inspections and do the review. They help out the Susan French's and help out the town repair houses. One of the things to also balance it the other way is we have, over the last several years, Ed and his staff have done a yeoman's job in that the South Side Comprehensive Plan. You know, we really, that was a major plan. The Old Aiken Master Plan, another major plan. The design review guidelines for the downtown area, another major task. Then there's been several traffic tasks, the traffic management ordinances and studies that they have done. We now have a level of service map. We just completed this access management ordinance. So some of the basic foundation of what we needed here in the city to look at for the planning commission and for the city council as a tool to be able to make decisions, Ed's accomplished in the last 5 or 6 years. I keep thinking that we'll kind of crest and be able to say now we get back to just more day-to-day planning because some of these bigger studies are done. The north side we've been talking about for several years, and this year will be over. The design guidelines for the downtown area, they started talking about that in the mid-90s. Now, that's been completed. The traffic management ordinance, it's going to take some tweaking and probably a little bit more work, but at least the foundation's there. So a lot of the things that we needed to get in place are in place. So how many more task force and other things we're going to need to do? I'm optimistic. I keep thinking, well, that's going to be it. And then, of course, we come up with 2 or 3 more. But that's what we'll have to look at. And, of course, we'll talk about that in a little while as far as what goes into the task force. Let me go through each one of these items and see if any of you have a question as to what it means. Because in a moment, I'm going to go ahead and give you a suggestion as to your top 10 list and then what things we would be stating you should go on the task force. Item number 7 is just a text amendment. It really, some ways, fell back to number 12. When in 1999 the new zoning ordinance book was put together, several changes were made, and it affected several different property owners in different areas throughout the community. We had lots of public hearings, we did lots of advertisement, but at the end of the day, when these changes were made, since that time, people have come to us and said, I didn't know you made that change. I didn't know my property could no longer be able to do this, this, and this. A good example was Robbie Shellhouse coming to us and saying, well, I didn't know under LP I could no longer have this fuel here. Well, you can, but if it ever closes within 1 year, then the next person could not have one. But if it sells and they continue it, then you're okay. But again, although there was a lot of discussion, he, as an individual, was never notified of that amendment change. So that number 7 was, how do we notify people about text amendment changes? Other than we put up some signs, we have some advertisement paper. You know, what other ways do we go about doing this without having to send out 10,000 letters every time that we make a change? So that's an item that needs to be discussed. Instead of me going through each one, is there any questions as to this is just something that we continually have regulation changes and amendments? None of them are major. These are just a number of them that we feel we just need to update it. The underground wiring is a result of the hospital. I shouldn't say it's the result of the hospital. The situation came up was at the hospital. They built a new cancer center. One day we go off and all of a sudden they got an overhead wire along this new road. And we thought it was going to be all underground. And we looked at the ordinance we have, we looked at the franchise agreement we have, and there's a loophole in there. And we feel that we need to close that loophole. And so we want to talk about that. Number 11, create some new zonings. The mayor's brought up on several different occasions, why don't we have a school zone? Why don't we have a church zone? Why don't we have whatever the zone should be? Should we expand the number of zones that we have?
Then do we all understand the reason for that? You know, sometimes you'll zone certain property for a certain thing, but it's got all these other things it can be if we're not careful. And if something happens, they don't build that well. They've got permission already from us because it's zoned, and they can build something else. And we may not like that. The ultimate of that would be to have a zone for every little thing. And I realize we don't want that. But when you start putting a number of things in a certain zone, whatever it may be, then you're looking for problems somewhere along the way at some time, maybe. So I didn't know if everyone got the understanding of why.
Schools could be a office zone, and that's the only zone they could be in right now.
Some other zones.
But most time we have to zone things, like for school, that again, kind of opens it up.
It grew out of the Aiken Prep property on Hitchcock Park, and they really wanted to annex it and zone the office to allow the school, but the office also allowed some other things that council really didn't want. So,
we talked about the inoperable vehicle design standards. We'll talk about that in a minute, but there's a good case for, again, we're talking about entrance roadways that are going to Aiken. Do we have some design standards for buildings? Of course, we don't right now, but do we want to have that? And if we did, under what circumstances and what would that look like? The open space, green space plan, of course, is in progress and underway. So those are the things that we have to date. What we are suggesting, and you all got a copy of it, is this list. If you look at number 7, number 7 now becomes number 1. Again, we have all these things in progress. They're already being worked on. But the next item that we start to take up would be that text amendment. Now, today, we'll look at this list of 9 items. They can be rearranged in any order you want. You can take some off here if you want. You can add to it. But again, we just took these items that needed action and went right on down the list to this item number here. Item number 5, which under this case is item number 12. Item 13, we're suggesting that a task force would go ahead and look at that. So we would have the next time that the Planning Commission has an opening, we have to finish this open space, green space. Primarily, I don't think the task force is meeting anymore because we give it to a consultant. Next, as soon as the consultant's hired, then the task force with them, talk about it. Then the consultant will be doing what they need to do, bring it back to task force, and then it'll come back to city council. So it's kind of like they're in a holding pattern right now. Am I correct, Bill?
Yeah, but it's going to be very time intensive on the staff.
Yes.
They're doing all of, doing all of
the. So the task force won't be doing that, but the staff is still working on it.
Right.
We think that in the fall of this year, that one should be completed. That's our goal, is that fall of this year, consultant would be hired, they would go ahead and take 2 to 3 months of working with staff and complete it and bring it back to city council. The old Aiken design review, which is this one right here, the consultant has already given us something, we're looking at it. We think that'll be completed this summer. So we think that the east side of Aiken, what design standards, and once that's completed, then the rest of the areas on the north side, we'll take it one area at a time, would again come under the design review board for the different approvals. That we think will be done this summer, so once that task force is done, then the planning staff could probably take on another job. So these are just down here. A couple of new ones. We got electronic signs. Electronic signs are, if you go past the USC Aiken, they have a ground-mounted sign. It's an electronic sign. Message comes up. Maybe 5 seconds later, a different message comes up. Then a different message comes up. Currently, we really don't allow those in Aiken. Now, you could say, well, there's a bank right down the road over here that has one at York and Park, but that was before the latest regulations were instituted. The question is, we now have a couple different people that want electronic signs, one being USC Aiken for the Convocation Center, which even though it's not in the city today, they have signed an agreement for utilities saying that, they're going to abide by all of our standards. So do we allow that? Well, if you allow them to have it, then under what circumstances do you allow the next person to have it? And so I'm not saying electronic signs are right or wrong, but we have to look at the issue. And, if you do allow it, under what circumstances do you allow it? So that is an issue that we have to decide on. Do we even want to talk about it? Another issue is tree protection regulations based on zoning land and not on its use. A good point there would be the old Aiken Prep property at Barnwell and Morgan. Based on its use, they were able to cut down all the trees because I believe that was zone L2.
The current Aiken Prep property?
The former one that's now got the houses on it.
It's LP.
LP. And so therefore they cut all the trees down. If we looked at the use, which was residential, then maybe the trees would be cut down. So we've had a lot of discussions on that, and that's an item. Then we had, over the last few months, different developments that have wanted to be part of the city, one being on the south side, one being on the east side. The Planning Commission reviewed one on the east side, and one of the issues that has been stated on that one and also on some of on the north side is it's not in the comprehensive plan area. So do we go ahead and readjust the comprehensive plan area, or do we even just review it to see if it needs to be readjusted or not? And same thing, are we satisfied or happy with where the plan study area is on the south side? Both of these could be done either in-house or you could get a task force. Because the foundation's been laid, on the east side and on the south side. We don't think it needs to have that 12, 15-member task force again. But if you want to adjust the lines, again, the question that always comes in is, what is good zoning? And what are the recommendations for the zoning? So those are four items that we're saying are at least things that you may want to discuss tonight and see if, number one, you want to have on the agenda, and if so, where on the agenda. Things, again, that we can handle as task force, we're already doing the open space, the underground wiring, we said, let's give it to Public Works, operable vehicles, that's another task force, design standards. Again, we originally had that right here under the Planning Commission. I really feel that, and Ed and I have talked about this, that this should be under the Design Review Board. If they're going to be the ones that are going to go ahead and ultimately rule on this, then maybe the Planning Commission shouldn't be the one to develop the task force. Maybe the Design Review Board should be. We've been talking about this for years. The only way, the best way to move it forward is Design Review Board, you having a task force, you determine what those standards are because you're the ones that are going to ultimately be reviewing it. So, again, we feel like that should be moved from there and given to the Design Review Board. And the last thing is the property maintenance enforcement review. So, again, that's the Design Review Board item that we feel.
Roger, we need to put the traffic maintenance ordinance somewhere.
Okay.
Sir? We've all talked about that.
Is there any particular spot you want to put that?
Yeah, I'd like to put it in place of 8 and 9.
Okay, but I mean, when we sit here, we're going to talk eventually about what order.
At least ahead of them, but somewhere it should go. It needs to be up near the top of that schedule.
Okay.
But,
yes, it does.
And I would, though, really like to address 8 and 9 for a moment because I question whether they should even be on there. And I'd like to just read a couple lines from the comprehensive plan, which was reviewed and renewed in September 2002. And it talks about the study area. Although the plan presented here deals with only a portion of it, the complete study area will eventually include not only land within the city limits, but all of the area served or potentially served by city services, because this is the area over which the city can exercise some control of land use. They're talking, and then the next phase is, this is all part of what we call phase one. And then phase two would really begin after the zoning ordinance is completed. And phase two of the comprehensive plan will begin with the focus shifting to the unincorporated areas served by city utilities. Now we're talking about two areas that are already being served and are part of a big agreement with throughout the county for the water and sewer. What we're talking about in the south, we're already into the New Ellington water and sewer service area. The same is true on the tool deck on the east side. So both of those, it makes no sense within our existing comprehensive plan that we've been trying to live by, and it's been there for a long time. So that's
another view of that, Dick, I think, or at least my view is that is a guideline, certainly, that we need a good reason to change, obviously, but I don't know that that matters. We don't even know, for instance, whether New Ellington can supply the utilities. But even if they can't, so what? It just means we don't have to supply them, but if we do annex, we can still control through annexation and zoning. Is that correct, what I've just said? In other words, it even saves us money of not having to supply the water and the sewer then if they're in a water district. But can we, this is a question too, because I'm not quite sure. Can we go into someone else's water sewer district and annex?
Absolutely.
I think
North Augusta right now is, in fact, when you look at their annexation, they've crossed county jurisdictional lines. And up in Edgefield County, there's the Edgefield Water and Sewer Authority. And so the water and the sewer is being fed by Edgefield in a different county, different school district, different county. It can be done. It's done in other areas. It's a question of, does city council want to do that or not? We've already stepped over that boundary with Mount Morris and Couchton in the Deodoro Plantation with them serving the water, we're serving the sewer. But again, it's just a question of how far does council want to see the eventual city limits grow.
How does it benefit us to service to annex an area that we can't serve? How does that benefit the city?
Well, one thing you're going to, if we assume that the area is going to be developed anyway, which I don't see how in the world you cannot assume that nowadays, the way Aiken County, Aiken is growing, then you're going to get something out there anyway. And, you know, I use this as an example, maybe it's not very good, but I'm glad that we didn't draw a line in the sand when it got to the Woodside and said, no, we're not going beyond that. We're going to get growth out there. So if everything is good, if the houses are of a price that we all agree is a good price for getting property taxes, if we want to protect that area and make it look good and not have more junkyards and everything else, and especially if the funding is such that it's beneficial to the city, certainly it's beneficial to make it look nice, so why should we arbitrarily not go in an area or put a circle around us so that we don't grow? Look at what Aiken's done. Aiken is growing. We have nice stores, we have nice looking places, we have landscaping and what have you as we've grown. As long as we can pay for the service of public safety and the things that are not provided, why should we not expand? I'm looking at it that way. I'm saying, why shouldn't we do it? Not, no, we shouldn't do it. But why should not we do it? Why shouldn't we do it? I think every area is going to have to be looked at differently. Now, I didn't agree to go in the east side of Aiken like you didn't either, Dick, because of the density of those homes and the price of those homes.
Right.
Had the density not been that good, the price been up, I would have voted for that. I think council would have. But with all those things, they've got to be right. You know, that we say if it's a $165,000 home and that kind of thing, if we don't have, if the public safety part of it doesn't cost us much more, we're going to put another station out there at Citadel anyway, Citadel and Whiskey. So that's all I'm saying. I'm not saying we ought to do it every time. I'm saying we ought to have an open mind about it and look at it, price it out. But something's going to go out there. And if we're not careful, we're going to be surrounded, maybe, if we just arbitrarily say, no, we're not going to expand. We're going to be surrounded by stuff like a junkyard or whatever, and we've got junkyards going to Augusta. We've got junkyards going to New Ellington on Whiskey Road. Soon we're going to have a 24 park, a trailer park out there because of the overlay district. I think I heard a day before the overlay district was voted on by the county, somebody submitted a permit and it was approved for 24 trailers right there on Whiskey Road, just beyond, somewhere, just slightly, I think, beyond to Latha Church Road. So, I mean, what do we want? What do we want as we go out of Aiken, if we have a chance to get a piece of property and everything being good, as far as money-wise, the houses and all that, why shouldn't we look at that?
But we do have to be careful because the county is in the process of trying to get some zoning that the existing residents want, is what I understand.
And that's good.
And if
that's
they
good.
Do that, we don't want to undermine those efforts.
Well, we won't. We won't.
And that's...
I talked to Scott Singer today. Mm-hmm. It took 3 hours ago about that. And I said, Scott, I'm glad you're doing what you're doing. The neighbors need to have a chance to fill out those survey forms, and if they want it zoned such that one unit per 5 acres, so be it. I mean, if that's what the county wants to go back and zone, fine. And then that's laid out for us, and then we can decide as a council, if we do want to annex, whether to leave it like that or to zone it something else or whatever.
But right now we're in the phase of saying, well, let's plan on it. The planning on it is like building it and they will come. If we create the plan, that's going to preempt some of these other things, and we will, I rest assured, we're going to move out there and continue to grow.
Well, yeah. I'm not saying it needs to be done tomorrow or next week or even next month. You know, it's up to us to put it where we think. I think we ought to proceed. Now, whether it's, you know, this year or next year, you know, that's going to be decided by all of us as to what priorities we want. But I don't think we ought to close our eyes, you know, in our mind to opportunities, is what I'm saying.
I think
a good growth.
My question was intended to get you to point out the reasons why you want to do that. But, Rob, we already know, because they've come to us already in these areas. And so my point is that they won't come to us if we plan it. They're already coming to us. And does it make sense to go ahead and study it and plan it out, or continue to have them just come without a plan, which is the best way to go? If you think they will only come if we plan it, we already know that's not correct. Because they have come from areas where we don't have a comprehensive plan.
That's
I'm thinking that the reason 8 and 9 might be up there is that that has already happened. And so does it not make sense to do the plan and study?
No, I don't think so, because, of course, we do have, and Roger, I think this is a discussion that really needs to be clarified. I have read the agreement we signed between New Ellington and ourselves as far as whose service area these things are. And by golly, to me, it looks like it's theirs, and that they can even challenge us if we go ahead and do it. So I really believe, and it's also, we as a city, if we're going to go out and make agreements with outlying districts and cities, I think it's also incumbent on us to be men and women of our word and do what we agreed to do.
Absolutely. Nobody's saying not to do that.
We agreed to do that with New Ellington. We did draw a line, and in fact, we not only drew a line, we actually pulled the line in closer to the city than it was originally. It ran much more along Anderson Pond Road, and in that agreement, we actually came a little further north with the line. And so it doesn't even touch Anderson Pond Road, except I think...
Well, first of all, what does the agreement say then?
The agreement says that they would be the providers of the water and sewer.
It doesn't say anything about annexation.
Right. And again, this is with the Public Works Commission, not the city of New Orleans.
Does it say
but again,
the annexation?
We wouldn't challenge that.
Oh.
Then, if that's what
the only way we... Again, if the owner wanted us to, or if they wanted to go to New Wellington, they could. But New Wellington has the absolute legal right to serve that area and every area up to about where Anderson Pond, the pond itself, is at, south. Now, they don't have any water and sewer in that area, but they have the right to serve it. If they chose not to serve the area, it's kind of like when the city of Aiken chose not to serve the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
Country Suites over by Hunter's Glen. When we chose not to serve that area, then they have the right to go to someone else to get service. So if New Wellington chose not to go ahead and provide water and sewer, and I think they would probably plan on doing the water, sewer they may not, because they're a long, long, long way, and the sewer's very expensive. But that's a choice they would have to make. City Council would have to understand that if you wanted to serve that area, it would be under the basic premise that our service would consist of police, fire, public works, and planning. Those would be the main areas that we would be doing for our service. Water and sewer, probably not. You know, that always could change, but probably not. We have the same agreement with Mountain Rinse and Couchton on the east. We have an agreement with VPSA on the west. The only place we don't have an agreement as to the water service areas is on the north side. And we're running into Beach Island now on the southwest part of this. In fact, Dick asked us to look at this water map situation, and we went to the county and found out that Beach Island now is saying that they're taking over everything up to New Wellington and up to Anderson Pond Road area. And the county changed lines back, and I think it was October. Didn't tell anybody. So wait a minute. I thought we're in there.
So what they want to do the water because it's a money making thing.
In most cases, there is more profitability in water than there is in sewer.
So I want to be real careful before we commit the existing taxpayers of Aiken providing only the most expensive things that are required of new development. I mean, we've got to be really careful about that.
It isn't what Dick was saying that if and I'm trying, I'm not sure I'm following everybody here, but you're saying if we serve any water, we should be planning for that area. If our water system currently served.
What we're doing, Ed, in this particular case, in my view, is we are enabling more dense development than otherwise would be the case. That's really the bottom line.
But as far as on the east side, we're up to north, but we serve water up there. Don't you think we should extend the comprehensive plan to cover the rest of that area?
In the area that's within our allocated water district, which will do water and sewer, absolutely. Toolbeck was not, east of Toolbeck was not, it's in the Montmorency Couchton Water District. In fact, on that one, it's slightly muddy because we got the sewer. I mean, that was the way the agreement was written up, is water, Couchton and Montmorency get the water, and we get the sewer, right?
That's correct.
That's the only one, I think, that's like that.
I believe that's correct.
Okay. And when we did that, studied that area in the comprehensive plan, we talked about the natural boundary of there being the railroad line, but we had a problem with the water thing. So where does the city actually want to stop? Have an arbitrary boundary that nobody can see or just would know that the railroad line is it, and that was a long discussion we had when we redid the comprehensive plan. Where is the boundary on that particular piece?
And right now the boundary, I believe, is Toolbeck Road for the comprehensive plan on the east side.
Yes, that's, we studied up to Toolbeck Road, and that's, we ended up, of course, then annexing Deodar Plantation, but then by extension, we're ready to leap across the street and do some more. That's my problem with all of this, is we just continue moving into other people's territories, making possible the kind of dense growth in those areas that wouldn't otherwise be possible.
Well, one of the definitions Planning Commission needs is where does the city want growth to?
Right.
And one of the problems we run into is, does the city want to be here or not? That's really not our decision as much as council's to say this is where we want, this is the area we want to be.
And as I'm saying, the comprehensive plan, by its language, seemed to clearly limit it to the water and sewer service area.
I was not born in Aiken, and I can tell you when I came here, the extent of Whiskey Road was an Edwards store that I think may have turned into something like a small Walmart. That was the extension of that in the shopping center. And past that point, the road going to New Ellington. I remember when they built the development out of Oriole Street. And, you know, that was pretty much it. And if it had not been for the council deciding to go along with some infrastructure on the south side, you know, a lot of people would not currently have a place to live. We would not have the gates anymore. We would not have Woodside. We would not have those places. And so it was going past where we were looking in previous years to that point. And I think that there may be some other perks in going into some areas. I'm not necessarily thinking that we need to go in someone else's water district, but I do not think we should draw a boundary and say this is where we ought to stop, that we should not go past this point.
But would it make sense? I'm sorry, Beverly.
We may want to let them come. People come to us and want to come in, and it benefits us, and we can see where it's not going to be a drain on the taxpayer citizens, that maybe we ought to at least look at it. And I'm trying to make a point not to to cut out studying an area that might, that we may want to look at, because they've already come to us.
Why study it? Why not wait until they come, decide whether it's really in the best interest of the city or not, whether you can negotiate the appropriate agreements with the other water districts and so on. I think what you do, we've got this great explosion to the south. And you've got the people out there in Chinebell Road. It's not like that's an undeveloped area now. There's some pieces of land that are in the middle of it that are prime properties, and they could and will be developed. There's no question about it. But it's not going to be commercial development in the center of that area. I don't believe it. We're going to be creating donut holes instead, is what we're going to have. But this idea of having another nice open area of horse properties and then jumping over to Chinebell Road, which is already nice, large horse properties and farmettes, if you will, for the most part. And then we're going to enable, by giving water out there, we're going to enable a more dense development than any of those people want. That's why I say you can't. Yeah. And once you start planning out there, that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, I see what's going on. You're looking south and I'm looking elsewhere. Well, I'm looking in the other direction.
Absolutely.
Maybe there's not a one-size-fits-all plan here for our growth outside the city.
You got plenty of room on the north side right now. We got water all the way to high
point. I'm doing just that.
Right.
And I'm not really, you're looking at what's going on in the south part.
And saying enough.
Right.
Not saying that on the north side. And in fact, the water district map doesn't say that on the north side. There's plenty of room to expand to the north.
I think the only argument for looking at the south side is, rather than waiting for people to come, I'm not worried as much about the people who come and want services. I'm worried about the ones who don't ask. And then you, at some point, 20 years from now, you may end up with them in here, and you wish you had a plan. So I think you've got to look at the south side further out just to protect the city. You can't wait.
First thing we can do is sit and do nothing. If we want it to look nice, we already see what bad looks like, right? We get it all the time. Why didn't a city do something? Why didn't a city do something about the south side? You know, because of the crazy annexation, antiquated annexation laws we have, we can't just go out there and do something. We're fortunate in downtown that the city was laid out, thanks to the landowners at that time when they gave them the land and got the right engineers on the city to lay out the city. But we haven't been able to do that. And we just let it go. And nobody is saying that we just barge into somebody's water district and take it away from them. Obviously, we have to work with them if they want to, if they can do it. Nobody's saying that it has to be more dense.
We haven't
voted on anything. I mean, how can you say that, gee, it's going to be more dense if the city gets involved in it? if the county zones it right now, you could have, I don't know what it's zoned out there right now, but next to some of the horse farms, you could probably have more trailer parks. And you talk about density. So what I see the city trying to do, and what we always try to do in the planning commissions working together, is to make things better, more beautiful, with landscaping, what have you. We've proven that. But the day we start drawing a line around Aiken, we're not going to go beyond this. I think that's the day that we begin to have some failures and not look so good, because we're going to have all this stuff unless something happens in the county and all of a sudden they get the same zoning we have or even better zoning. Then we're going to start seeing these pockets of stuff that we don't want around Aiken, just like we've already got some of them now.
But don't you think this is really a prime opportunity to go, to take a real initiative to go to the County Planning Commission and say, you know, we've had projects brought to us that are not in our area, that are not even in our water district.
Sure.
And rather than us working on our plan and they're working on their plan and then whatever, that we at least try to work with them and show them and talk to them about, because I've had so many calls from people who say, you know, I don't like what's coming around me, my property, and I'm in the county. Yeah. And I said, well, have you talked to your county councilman? And they say, no, they don't know who their county councilman is.
Well, Jane, that's why I said
there just has not been a tradition in the county of constituents going to their representatives. Maybe there is in Dick's district, but in a lot of districts around this area, why are they calling me on city council, you know, when they're not even in the city? But because, I say you need to talk to your county council person.
Absolutely.
And tell them you've been paying county taxes, mm-hmm. and this is what you want for your area. Get your neighbors involved in it. And maybe if we had maybe a meeting with the County Planning Commission or something, you know, to see if there's any will there to do
now, Scott Singer is leading that right now. Well, that's why I said early on. I've talked to Scott several times about this. And just this afternoon I talked to him. And I said, again, for what it's worth, Scott, I think you're doing the right thing in getting the surveys to all the neighbors. And then when you get them, I assume you're going to take them to your commission, talk about it, and say, okay, County Commission, we need to rezone this, if that's, in fact, what needs to be done. I mean, if that's what the consensus is. And I think that's the right way.
Because,
and that's a process that's going on. I see that kind of moving forward now.
Well,
and we're kind of later on, and then if we decide we want to talk about annexing some of that, then we can decide, let's annex, maybe annex it just like it's zoned. For instance, if it's one unit per 5 acres, then it won't be any more dense.
I think we ought to make an effort, though, to go to the County Planning Commission and talk about our concerns. Because when I go to county council meetings, and I know you have all heard, a couple of these rural council people are very antagonistic toward the notion that they believe the city of Aiken is trying to eat up everything.
Absolutely.
And they're very antagonistic toward that idea. And if they could see that what we're really interested in is good planning, that, after all, is what we want. I mean,
don't you think we can do this in tandem? I think as planning commissioners, we're always are supposed to be looking at 30 years down the road, 40 years down the road, not what's just happened in the last 10 years. And I think in being on the Planning Commission, we have seen where county is working towards things, and I agree with you, Jane, that we need to encourage them and support them and say that, but it's going to take some time because they have a lot further to come than where we are. And I think because we have had good planning, the comprehensive plan, other sorts of zoning things, it has brought pressure upon them to bring some of their things up to snuff. But I'm going to tell you, and listening to some of the people that come before us, it's good that we have a certain set of zoning guidelines, and we can say, okay, we'd like to have you in the city, but you're going to have to, you know, meet certain requirements. And the county is coming up, like you said, they're working on this, but I don't think we have the luxury of waiting until they're up to snuff. I think we need to continue to encourage them, talk to them. Bill and Wilkins and I sat on the whiskey overlay, the planning commissioners from the county that we worked with, we worked fairly well with. But like you said, then when it got back to council, their council, things bogged down. You know, it was changed and rearranged and a lot of other things. But I do think that there's no problem with doing both. I think it's ridiculous not to plan and look down the road. I understand what you're talking about with density. I don't think any of us want it to become Washington Road and, you know, all the problems. But I do not think that we can just pretend like it's not going to grow or that we're going to draw a line or put up a fence. I think we need to look ahead and we have to make it difficult and work together with the county and just be wise stewards and think about how this is going to affect us 30, 40, 50 years down the road when none of us are around.
Let me say one other thing. We've mentioned the Northside Comprehensive Plan Task Force. We tried, Raj and I, we've talked to the county several times. We've tried to get the county involved in that. To date, unless it's changed today, they have not gotten involved at all. I think one of them came to one of the meetings. But it's the county that should be taking the leadership here in that and doing it to start with. All of that's county land, and we're trying to get plans so that we don't have these same arguments that come up years from now about, well, look what happened to this outside. No planning took place. So the city has taken the initiative to get that going. We're paying the money for a consultant to help to get that going. And the county's done nothing. Nothing. So what are we to do? Just not do anything and wait for the county to act? I'm not trying to say that the Southside situation we're talking about is the same as that, but that is an example of us having a vision to move forward and to try to make some good planning in the north side that was not done, you know, correctly in the south side.
Well, you make a very good point, and quite honestly, there is probably good cooperation between the two staffs, city and county. I'm sure there's a lot of dialogue goes back and forth. The basic problem is at the county council, because they're heard repeatedly that they view something like the North Side Plan or any of the initiatives that the city undertakes as city programs that are being forced upon, or attempted to be forced upon the county. And their attitude is the city ought to mind its own business. Now, that's not the attitude of everyone on that council. There are certain members of that council who regard anything that the city wishes to initiate as an imposition. And they are very much, for whatever reason, very adamant in refusing to extend any cooperation. Now, I don't know what the answer to that is. I think it's probably, as Jane points out, there has to be some pressure brought to bear by people in the county and talking to their representatives and demanding that they take the appropriate action to cooperate with the city. Maybe there's a better way to do it in terms of having some better liaison on a more permanent basis between the city and the county. You don't have to meet every day or every week, but maybe on a quarterly basis or I don't know, however often it might be appropriate to discuss these problems of mutual interest. And maybe that's a way of bringing some pressure to bear. If you can air these issues and the public becomes aware of them, then it's much easier for people to go to their county council people or to come to anybody here and say, well, now you raise this problem, what do you intend to do about it?
I don't want to be cynical, but we've been talking about this same problem for almost 20 years and we're still talking about the same subject. But regarding the south side, that train is on the track and we have not been able to slow it down, but we've just been able to just stay on track. What has happened, I'm seeing, and that's based on the people that come across the street at the Washington Group, our realtors have a strong determination in terms of how this growth is going in this town. When people come into this town and look at property, where they take individuals, and I would ask you to check where they take and show Aiken first. It's always the south side. Very, very few times, unless they're looking for large tracts, are they going to show them the east. Very rarely the north. They're going to discourage the north side. So that's how we change that mindset. But we're, although the ultimate decision lies with us as to where growth is going, we are reactive, I see, with what is coming to us. People are wanting to grow. That's where they want to move. Developers come here, and we react to what the demands are. And that's where we are. And we're not forcing our plan where it should be going in order to have more of a balanced growth in our community. And we're it's not balanced. And you know that, and I know that, and that's hard to achieve. I found over the years, the 20 years that I have been almost engaged with county growth and city government.
Roger, one other point, and you may have the answer to this. It's my understanding that the legislature has under active consideration some sort of legislation or bill to facilitate annexation. Now, I don't know what the terms of that are or what the implications of that are, but if they are, I would think that should be looked into to see how that relates to this very discussion.
And is a bill submitted by Senator Ritchie to essentially go on a density type of annexation law, more or less like North Carolina and perhaps some other states. And I don't know all the details yet, but it has to do with if there's a certain number of people in an area, then it's almost automatic. I think maybe it is automatic that once an area gets so much density, that just become part of the city. Whatever it is, it's similar to that. Whatever it is, it's worked for North Carolina as far as their larger cities growing. You can argue whether or not you want growth or not.
Is that an automatic
whether or not
process?
You want large
is that an
cities.
Process?
I think so.
So in other words, if New Wellington, if the city, if New Wellington suddenly became the density required under that particular legislation, it automatically be annexed into?
No, you can't annex another municipality. But the spaces between. Maybe like College Acres or something, you've got X number of density there. But you look at North Carolina over the years and look how they've grown, their large cities and what have you. Our largest city is 116,000 people, Columbia. And out of 268 cities and towns in South Carolina, 110 of them are 1,000 or less. And we're 14th largest in the state of South Carolina. But it's that argument, too. How big is big enough? How much do you want to grow? But if you think in terms of Aiken, went back in the 50s, we moved here in 1953. Whiskey Road was two lanes. You talk about traffic? A lot of traffic on Whiskey Road with two lanes. And with all the construction workers coming in. Suppose Aiken was just downtown. Suppose somebody said that's the line right there. We're not going to cross that line. You can only imagine what would happen. I don't know what would happen. I don't know what it would be like. It certainly wouldn't be the nice place that we have to live right now. With the stores, finally, we've got stores. People might spend $6-7 million in Augusta like it used to be. Sure, it takes you longer to go somewhere down Whiskey Road. So what? You want to go to Augusta, go down Washington Road, spend an hour or two doing that? It's up to the individual's thoughts, I guess, on how they feel about it.
Beverly's comment regarding Woodside, and Beverly, when you mentioned that, I reflected, we thought Hounds Lake was going to be the farthest we would go, and then Woodside came in the opposition to Woodside to go, but that was too far out. How far do we go with Woodside? Do we want to even go that far to develop, to bring that into the city? So it's just amazing how the mindset has changed with growth as we expand it.
But you don't know what the people want, because I remember the article in the Aiken Standard that showed all the people camping out for the day that they were going to open up for bidding for lots.
Mm-hmm.
People really wanted that. And so it was a win-win situation for the people in Philly City. But I think that I don't think any of us want to put a circle around the city and say this is as far as we want to go. But we do need to manage. I just think that, to me now, and I don't know how you feel about the bill, but to me, if we clean up annexation laws in South Carolina, we won't get labeled as the state with the largest amount of homes without indoor plumbing. I mean, you know, and that's because these homes are in unincorporated areas and they don't have access to water and sewer. And so by cleaning up your annexation laws, as you ride through South Carolina, you see little pockets where they could very easily be in somebody's town or city.
As far as drawing that circle around aging and saying, this is it, this is as far as we want to go, if we think that that's going to stop development on the south side or east side of Aiken, I think you're sticking your head in the sand. And the fact that we've now reached the new Ellington Water District, as well as Montmorency-Kelston Water District, if you think that us not giving them services is going to cut down the density of those properties, I don't think that's going to be true either. So what we can choose to do is annex that property into the city and have somewhat of a tax base as well as management capabilities of that property, or we can say, no, we don't want you, go somewhere else, and we're still going to get the traffic. We're still going to have to provide the fire protection. We're still going to be faced with all of the things that we're faced with Cornerstone right out there off the bypass. Mm-hmm. And we don't have the first tax dollar coming off of it. And then it's going to be our citizens that's having to ante up the money to widen that road to help those folks that are located there in the county get around within our city. And that's just, I mean, that's just the way that I see it. Whereas if we take it on a case-by-case basis, and even though we may not be able to provide services for that piece of property, if we annex it into the city, then under PR, we have some controls over what that density is, what that property looks like. And we've also got tax services.
Let me ask a hypothetical question here. If you had to plan the area south of Aiken, what would be your propensity? What do you think it would look like?
I like the horse farms. I like the horse farms.
It's not so, like east side. It's beautiful.
It is. As we were moving to the south, for instance, and in this current comprehensive plan, it does talk about low density development further to the south. Now, unfortunately, one of the definitions for low density is like an eighth of an acre. So I think we have to look into that. But if one started the plan, would we be thinking maybe like 1 to 5 acres for most of it? Maybe a little note of commercial somewhere here and there, but is that the kind of plan you would foresee if that...
Well, Dick, just from my point of view, I think if you were sitting down to do it from scratch and you were going to plan Whiskey Road today, I really don't think it would look like it looks now.
Right.
I think there are much better and more attractive ways of developing these corridors instead of the linear progression that you have with the big box stores and so forth. Obviously, there are many ways to do it better. Obviously, that was not the case. So I guess the answer to your question is, as Mrs. Clinton said, if I knew now what I knew then.
I'm trying to find out if you
were voting for it.
I should have done that.
Hindsight.
I do think what it does, if you study it, is that it gives you the option to say what you want. In the dark and have to come before us multiple times until they get it right. When they come before us, they'll know ahead of time what they can do if you plan it. But when you leave it unplanned, I think you have what we have when we were talking to the people over home.
And Jeremy said is right. I don't think that you can ask tonight, hey, give me a plan like that. You're a much better person than we are if you can just come up with something. But I think we've learned a lot, and I think that would be something the Planning Commission and working with the City Council would want to do. We wouldn't want to do the same thing over.
Well, we all know the old saying, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail.
you fail.
Period.
And I think that's all we're saying is we need to plan as much as we can.
Roger, when I got my one note here, page 2, I had 10 items. Of course, you missed number 8, but you could just put number. You can put update traffic management ordinance under number 7, and then make it number 8, and then go 9 and 10. You want a higher?
Hey, that's, we're already in a bad situation with that plan. And the study areas are far too small.
Mm-hmm. Roger, one of the things that Dana and I were talking about was number 7, the tree protection regulation. That should be one, unless I'm thinking lightly here, that can be managed pretty quickly. And moving that under the environmental committee, they're looking for things to do. And that could be something to fall, I think, comfortably under their scope of activity. Number 7.
Okay, what's another suggestion in the chat? How about number, making it number 5, maybe? Or even number 3.
Well, number 4.
Yeah.
We have to amend the zoning ordinance for 7.
This one here?
Okay.
Yeah, but it's actually going to take care of it. You have to look at a lot of different things for that change. It's not going to be a real simple thing. It sounds simple.
Which one's that?
The Planning Commission is going to have to hold a public hearing on it and make a recommendation to council because it's in the zoning ordinance. I mean, I think it's a good with the Planning Commission.
It actually is in the zoning ordinance in that if it's residential use, they take out all the trees.
Right.
So what else is complicated about it?
I'm just thinking through the processes.
I always hesitate to say things would be easy. I think it's relatively straightforward. You never know until you get in there and start playing with it, but it shouldn't be super complicated.
It's kind of like a bed and breakfast was relatively straightforward until we got into it and found several things that.
I really don't think it's like that, though. I don't.
And hopefully it won't be. I just see that.
Because those ordinances, particularly the zones we're really talking about, are already in place. Anybody that's ever tried to build a building in an LP zone knows that the tree ordinances are in place. Mm-hmm. But you've got plenty of stuff to deal with. You know, they're already there. So just say they apply to everybody.
But I thought around with just an LP room, LP and LB and commercial, all the different zones as to how tree regulations are not. Are we looking at just LP?
Well, don't we already have tree regulations in commercial zones? And are those not in effect no matter what the use?
I mean, there are regulations. You have to do surveys, you have to do certain grand trees to get their trees. Are you satisfied with that? And are we going to look at LP?
Well, I thought that's where the problem was, but maybe I'm wrong.
I guess I was thinking we're going to be reviewing all of them just to make sure that we're comfortable with all the different.
Okay.
Right now, the regulations say if you build a single-family house in any zone, you can cut all the trees. And I think you're saying that
that's my question.
If you're building a single-family house in any commercial zone, it should be, you should follow the tree protection regulations.
Right.
So what I guess I was thinking about, James, that we're looking at every zone as to how that, not just the LP. That's why I said it's a little more broader than just the LP.
It just doesn't sound like a 6-month project.
No, I don't think it's going to be. I think it'd be 2 or 3 month project.
You know.
What priority do we want here? I've heard a couple of different things.
Okay.
About now that Dick's out of the room, we should go ahead and talk about
it. I'm going to say traffic ordinance number 4.
Taking this and moving this down to here?
Yeah.
Number 4.
And that automatically pushes everything else down.
And do you want to move this up? I know that Leslie and Jane were talking about possibly moving this one up.
Just just because I think it was simpler than most of the others.
That's right.
Okay, so that's... Which ones, I mean, like number three, you need that little thing plugged up. I mean, that number three is just, could basically be you guys giving us some new language and we voting on it.
That should be one of the more simple.
That should be the easiest thing to do.
It may not come up for another year or two before we have something, or it could come up next month if we have those.
Well, let's make it number one then. Yeah. If that's something that you know.
All we need is somebody to give us some new verbiage. Mm-hmm. We agree to it or not, and boom, it's
pretty simple. Well, language on this.
Well, Roger, when you use this, that's the three. What does that actually encompass? Does that encompass residential as well as commercial? In other words, any new wiring within the city would have to be there.
Right.
No matter what the use,
no matter where it's at, no matter what the cost is. Before they said, well, it's just too expensive to go underground this area because of the size of the line that we have to put in the cancer center and every other building in there. It's just prohibitive. Well, our understanding was we didn't care what the cost was. You underground. So, okay, we'll make that number one.
And when I look at it, I see 3, 4, 5, 6 are the easiest ones to get accomplished, and we can get knocked back.
Can then number one would become number two?
This one here be number four, is that you're saying?
I mean, or three, number this one. What you have labeled up there, but numbers 3, 4, 5, and 6 are... Planning Commission can really, I can see us knocking those out because they're relatively easy things to handle.
These two are a lot of controversy.
I usually agree with you, but I don't think we're going to have a hard time coming up with a school or church zoning, because I think it's something we all understand pretty well.
So where one is, where three is, go down and label that 1, 2, 3, 4.
Okay. And again, maybe I'm misunderstanding. When we looked at this, we were not just looking for schools. We were looking at maybe 3 or 4 other zones.
Schools, okay. Churches.
I know the mayor has talked several times about several different types.
Well, my thought is that once we, it's probably time to look at all the zones. We all know we got into the controversy with the LP zone down off of Payne Avenue.
We're still fighting.
And after that, we said we'd look at it. But I remember I said something about let's look at all of them, not just single that out. Now, whether or not it's important to look at all of them, if we...
Any of us would do that.
Huh?
I'm sorry, put 4 and 5 together.
Yeah.
Creation of the institutional zoning and an evaluation of all the other zones.
Yeah, like this one here, I know that council talked about just a particular situation at a particular location for several hours, and that's why I said I'm not sure it's as easy as you...
Well, and it keeps coming up. I mean, we keep getting hit by this LP zone, and we need to clean it up.
But no matter how that comes out, I'm not saying it needs to be changed, but when was the last time we looked at all of them? Is this something that we need to do, or is this something that we can put off another year or so? Do we need to look at all of them, Ed?
The last time it was done was 98, and then the new ordinance, totally new zoning ordinance, was adopted in 99. And we really haven't had any problems with it. Everything's working fine, in my opinion, except for some of the questions about LP. And maybe the need for a new institutional zoning category. Other than that, I think we've got other things we need to deal with.
You've got the best knowledge, and if we don't, I'm not hung up on LP. As far as I'm concerned, that could be at the bottom of the list.
No,
not even on the list. If we don't need to look at it or look at any others as well.
Well, I mean, I think you need to look at LP because of all the discussion you had a couple of years ago. That is one thing to look at as far as what uses should be allowed in that zone.
Well, so if we combine those two, that seems to be the thing we ought to do.
Again, this is a standalone. You can look at LP.
Yeah.
If you look at institutional zoning, that changes all of these different use tables that we have and categories and lots of different pages. Again, when you all get it, it's one thing, but Ed and his staff trying to make the changes in a very thick zoning manual to create another zone. There is work.
I think the traffic management thing then needs to be ahead of that. It's going to take forever to do that.
Would it not? It's at number four. If we had the number one, number three now becomes number one. And then if number one becomes number two, and number two, number three, and then the traffic management ordinance is number four, then the creation would be five, the evaluation six. Like Jonathan.
Again, we're open to doing whatever order you want. Just you tell us.
Besides the convocation center, the electronic signs, is that the only one you said?
There's another one you had mentioned, Ed.
There's a church on the south side, and we just got an application today from another church about, well, close by, that wants one too. So it's, we're going to see more and more of
them. Yeah. I think that's something that's going to be a hot topic with a lot of people.
And it's going to be, yeah. Take some discussion. Okay, what I'm hearing right now is one, two, three.
And then
this is number four.
And then signs number five.
You
think it's a hot topic?
It's fine. Again, what council has said, when a landowner or individual comes and says they want to bring up a topic, you said bring it up,
yep.
And that becomes number one, and it's not going to be a lot of discussion.
Well, the this one seems to be a problem.
Well, no, they're going to. They aren't, but I think they could be.
And it's again, it's not a difficult. It's either yes, that's what you want, mm-hmm. And if so, in what manner, or no, you don't want them at all.
The way to discourage it is that you have certain dimensions. If it's a standalone sign versus the electronic, it's smaller. And I think folks would much rather have a larger sign versus a small sign that deals with the electronic.
And one of the questions is how often does it flash?
Right. Ed Giovi just mentioned the safety element.
So people are reading this thing that you put on the highway.
There is a national debate presently on electronic billboards, and they are considered in many quarters to be a substantial safety hazard. Now, we don't allow billboards in Aiken. I think we have.
There's one on Whiskey Road.
But that was that grandfather head or something? I don't know, or can that still get rid of it? But the point of the matter is, I don't think we have to contend with electronic billboards. The question is, as Roger pointed out, if you allow the USC to have one, and I don't know what the discussion is to how big or whatever it is, but again, it's a question of precedent. If you allow them to do it, what do you say to the next guy and the next guy after that, and so on and so forth? Personally, I'm not big on billboard or sign. I think the fewer of them, the better. I mean, they should be for informational purposes. The county has been very lax on what they do with signs and billboards, and all they have to do is take a look at Route 1, and you can see what's happened there and what will continue to happen there, unless it's properly regulated.
I mean, that even could be a situation where you say you can allow those things for institutions only. I mean, there's just a gamut of where you can go with this subject.
That's why I think it's going to come up. But it's...
And Don just mentioned the LCD billboards and signs, and those things are huge and bright.
They're aggressive now.
And they've got them all down the street in New York, and I know they're going to spread like wildfire. Because you can do so many different things with it. Yeah. And you may as well take some.
Okay, do you want to move that one up or keep it where it's at for right now?
I think we ought to move it ahead.
Yeah, let's deal with it.
Doesn't need to go past number four.
Tom Holman has already approached me and wants to talk to me about it this week.
Should we?
Well, let's do it now.
They want to get it in, I'm sure.
Yeah, so
there would so be a lot of people want to get them in once they see it's on the agenda.
Based on the attraction that they're bringing in, I can see why they want a lot of flashes showing the upcoming events that they've got coming in.
Why don't we do that as number one, then? That's simple and maybe the desert right.
I'm not saying it's simple.
Let's make it.
Well, it may be hard, but it
let's make it number
okay, we'll make it number two. This one here is relatively simple.
All right.
And then we'll make this number two.
And I think that tree protection regulation needs to go up there higher. Okay, so then the traffic management thing becomes three.
Is it three or four?
No.
Okay, this is
five.
We got number two. Number three would be what's next?
Which one is number
three? I think it's three. No, I take it back. I think the tree, I think the traffic management should be number three in the tree protection.
Me too.
Don't forget to do your list to get it down.
That's right.
So we got one, we got two. I've heard tree protection, I've heard this. Anybody else have any thoughts on number three?
I think you need the one sentence in that tree or tree protection regulation. Don't cut them. But I don't think it should rank above those hot topic items that we have.
Traffic is three.
Neither one of these here are a hot topic. They've just been on our list forever. You know, they keep rolling to the next list. But Ed, is there anything in these two that are real hot?
No.
So I mean, these are not a priority, but they're things that it's more like a maintenance.
I'm looking at it.
Yeah. So I mean, they don't have to be high up here on the list.
Well, isn't the public matters something that again, planning should be able to come to us and say, here's a suggestion for doing this. This is how we want to do it. We want to notify X people.
Over the last several years, we have been making changes to, it used to be we didn't post signs, except only certain periods of time. You know, now we are posting them for planning commission meetings and public meetings at the city council.
Did you put some more signs in
So we're putting more signs, more often. We're not sending letters to everybody that's neighboring these areas. So we're getting more notices out. It's again, this is the big broader one. Let's say we go ahead and change this LP zone. And LP is not in just one area, it's scattered throughout the city. And then you know, the question, well, there potentially could be other people that want to rezone LP in the future. Do they get notices of this? You know, where do you stop and start?
Well, Rob, I see that as probably that notice for tech, a half of an FTE position, because that's going to take somebody on top of that constantly with letting folks. So we have so many changes going on.
Or the easy thing would just say, okay, we send out a utility newsletter. Every resident and those outside the city that are on our utility system get it every month. Now, whether they read or not is another thing. But we could put anytime there's changes to the text and, you know, and just let everybody know there's going to be some changes here. Here's a broad outline of those changes. If you want more information, give us a call. I mean, that's the easiest way of notifying everybody.
Sounds like a win.
Yeah, that's, yeah. 16,000 of those go out every month.
Isn't that virtually the same as sending a letter to everybody?
Well, a letter, though, somebody might pay more attention to and read.
We have such a great city channel now with our new person doing the updates. Just running it for a while on the city channel, the update.
Well, nobody.
I mean, that's another thing.
People reading more.
I think the newsletter is the best thing.
Whether they read it or not, it covers us. We have sent it to them.
Now, you talk about the Aiken Report now.
Yes.
One that goes out. That's the best communication tool.
I think that in conjunction with a public notice in the paper or outside.
Yeah.
I think that's the more than.
I've got that one solved, yeah.
Just take it number three and knock it out.
Okay, we'll knock this one out very quickly.
Make the tree.
Okay, then we got this is four, or we got the tree is four. This one's going to take a little bit of time. Okay, so this is number four. Five. Then can we just go down this list here? Six, seven. Okay. And one of the things that, you know, a decision will have to be made as these other things get done by the task force, like I said, we expect this summer to get one of the task force items done. Now, it's not a hard and fast thing that the planning commission can't do, or the planning department can't do more than three, but that's really about the limit. Coming up, again, let me just give you those times. We're expecting that the north side will be done by the end of this year. Old Aiken designed a new plan this summer, and open space this fall. So as those come more open, we can start taking some of these things, and maybe a task force would be more logical in some areas. These two in particular.
The east side's not as big of a problem as the problem sounds like. The east side is somewhat limited as to how far we're going further. But understand, you know, the question came up on water and sewer. We're serving Owens Corning and that gas. Well, it's further down.
Kent Park?
No.
Oh, I'm talking about Airco.
We serve Airco, which is way down 78 on the other side of railroad tracks with water and sewer. So, I mean, it's. But I still think the logical spot is the railroad track if you're going for the bees. But again, and then to the south, we'll just have to see how far we want to look on that. So, those are going to be the nine. We'll go ahead and give those to City Council, hopefully at the next council meeting to approve and vote on. But again, the number one would be the underground, and you can see number two. I don't know what happened to this one. It's in there somewhere. We lost it. We'll give it a number.
Now, question. I agree with all that. I'm glad we all agree. But the question will come up, perhaps, before we get down to eight or nine, if the project comes to us. It looks good. All every which way you look at it, it looks great. Nobody's going to say now, oh no, we don't have a comprehensive plan yet, because that hadn't come up on the priority list yet. I think we need the flexibility to make a sensible decision should something like that happen. And not say, well, I'm sorry, we can't go any further, you know, because it's 8 or 9 and we'll get to it next year sometime. I don't think that's wise either. I think it's one of those things we've got to look at, and if it looks good, looks proper, best interest of the city, I personally think we ought to move on. But I'm sure we'll have some discussion on it if that comes up.
I agree. Anyway, thank you all.
Hey, thanks.